Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussions since 2007. Sanctioned by...
the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, number 41, Charlie Manuel.
Charlie Manuel says he is influenced by old-time wrestler Ric Flair. We gotta let Charlie explain.
I heard Burl in the interview this morning when I woke up and turned the TV on. He said, it's something to be the best, you gotta beat the best. That's one of my slogans. It's Ric Flair. Going to Space Mountain, what the hell? You know what happens to Space Mountain? You gotta get there and you gotta conquer it. You gotta stay there.
Playoff fever even infects this fine little radio show. So, ladies and gentlemen, please do not adjust your internet. This is North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. Tonight I have a very exciting start all the way down south and deep in the heart of Texas with Mr. Tyson.
My playoff fever currently is turning into some kind of virus because I'm starting to feel sick.
And our number three is a little out of place, but that's all right. That's fourth.
Yeah, I just had a plumbing explosion earlier today. I still have the smell of waste, but that being said, it was a lot less crap than last night's impact.
And we will get to that. And let's see who appeared on line four. Is that VRM?
Yeah, yours is starting off crappy. Mine is now starting to turn excellent.
As everybody has good things coming their way. But before we get into the mound, that steaming mound of crap that we called this past Thursday's impact, I've got something else coming in. As it came in to the surprise of absolutely no one, WWE has finally come to the terms of the release of Matthew Moore Hardy. He has been wished well in his future endeavors, as he will be sent home for his 90-day vacation and then probably packing up to go to Orlando. Am I the only one here who's not surprised?
To be completely honest, if I would have been surprised, that feeling of me is gone a long time ago. Nothing fazes me. I was expecting this for the last couple of weeks now.
Now, I got a buddy of mine sent me some info, and he said it was from PW Insider, but don't quote me on this. Apparently, he had posted a YouTube video that included an unmasked Rey Mysterio, which was probably the final straw that broke the camel's back.
Because we've never seen Rey Mysterio's face before.
Well, in the WWE universe, we haven't. So, after months of whining and bitching and realizing that he has zero backup, that the only other North Carolinian left on the entire roster is on Raw, and that I believe that's R-Truth. Are there any other North Carolinians that I'm missing here?
I can't think of anyone else.
I think that's pretty much it.
So, I think he's going home for a little vacation, and then he's going to go join his buddies down south. So, go ahead, Forrest.
I was going to ask, if he doesn't accept the money from the clause, is he free to do whatever he wants, or is it still something he's bound by?
I don't know the answer to that one. I really think, though, that it sounds like they came to the terms of his release, so he's going to have to honor the no-compete, because if he was fired outright, then he could just go. but they actually made the formal announcement. You know, they gave him the Future Endeavors thing. So he's going to have a nice little vacation, and I'm sure Russell Kraft has asked him to take that time to get himself in shape. And looks like we have an extra line here. Carl, sounds like you finally made it.
Yes. Yes, I have. Thanks a lot, BTR. You suck. Good evening, gentlemen and lady.
And with that, I will take my leave.
We'll catch you next week, VRM.
Kick VRM right. off. Just kick him off.
Yeah.
Don't let him
yeah.
go peacefully.
Major suck. Yeah.
There you go.
Don't worry, Seth. We can get your revenge on your show if he shows up.
Wrestlelicious theme for the full hour.
I might actually have to join in there.
So, okay, now let's actually talk about something a little bit happier here. It's going to be about Bound for Glory. I did not see the pay-per-view myself, but it sounds like up to about the last 5 minutes, it was a fair show.
Yeah.
I didn't see either. You're not alone.
Okay. What typo? Did either of you guys watch it?
Yes, I watched a little bit of it. It was actually an all right show, and notwithstanding.
Okay. So I'm looking through the scores here real quick, and at least all of us got on the board at some point. But none of us got the title match. Some of us got half of it for who got 10. Let's see. The only reason I've got some points is I took a half point on the Machine Guns versus Generation Me, but that was pretty much a quick point for everybody. And then everybody but Josh got a point for the Knockouts title match, because Josh got 2 points. And Typho and Forrest, you guys have quite the insight for calling Sting, Nash, and De Niro over Jarrett and Samoa Joe. Very good.
Thank you.
Let's see. And Jim, the only one who did not get a point for Lethal versus Williams. But with so many points to play with, the scores range from 4 to 9. Jason is at the very bottom of the pile, and that might have been one of the reasons why he didn't show up on the show. Jim was 4.5, me was 5.5. Josh was 6, Forrest with 7, but Forrest, alas, you're going to have to step aside as our winner with 9 points and sole NAWC Fizzleway champion is Mr. Typho.
Belt just took a short little vacation away from me, and now it's right back home.
It's like the Triple H Reign of Terror.
That's right. I'll give it up for a little while, but I'm going to have to do some squashing to make up for it.
And now I do feel like I had the Shawn Michaels cup of coffee. Now, with the revelation of they, Bischoff, I think we all had Bischoff tagged as one of them. And appropriately with the Impact, they played the NWO music as Hogan and Bischoff step out first, followed by a Fortune, followed by Jeff Hardy. Who else?
I think Abyss was there at some point, wasn't he?
Yeah, Abyss came out. Despite the fact that over the course of the year, where's my notes? The fact that Hogan has humiliated Jarrett on and off the fact that Hogan and Flair have always been butting heads. Bischoff's been trying to run Jeff Jarrett out of the company, but look who he throws in with.
Whoa!
I have power all over again.
Yeah.
And it was everything that Bischoff had to do to keep from saying NWO through that opening promo. Alas, they also set a precedent for the show that will, I hope, never get matched again.
The least amount.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the least amount of wrestling for a wrestling show.
Yes. If there are any TNA fans listening, there is no excuse whatsoever to have a two-hour show with 6 minutes of wrestling.
The only great part. I don't mean to step on any toes. Go ahead.
Well, that includes the 3 seconds of Tara laying down for Madison Rayne, the couple of minutes that Pope got killed, and a minute of the RVD Ken Anderson match that went into reaction. Nice try, guys. I didn't follow. What you were going to say?
I was going to say the only great part of that show to me was finding out about the Back to the Future reunion. Otherwise, as a wrestling fan, I just hung my head.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tesla, I know you had a highlight.
Yeah, pretty much the lone highlight of the night was Lacey Von Erich's low blow on Robbie E.
Carl, did you grab this show at all?
What was that? Someone sounds like they're in a whole bunch of wind there.
Sorry, I just caught a little bit.
Okay. All right. Third time. Let's go again. Let's try again.
Okay. So did you see any of Thursday's Impact?
Yes, I did actually, for once.
Okay.
I enjoyed that match with Anderson and RVD.
Okay. I was just so frustrated with the fact that they weren't even bothering to have the Impact main event on Impact. I turned it off. I'm sure it was a good match, and it ended in a no contest.
Yeah.
To me, it was the worst of two worlds. You had the watering down of NWO circa 1998 meets the nonsensical booking and matches of WCW 2000.
That sounds about right.
And on top of all this, the more nonsense with Dixie Carter, who, you know, had always swore up and down she was not going to be a character on screen yet.
You little smug shit.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Am I the only one who finds it weird that this is the second time that Hulk Hogan has been called the S word on TV?
Does that count the celebrity roast that he attended?
I wasn't counting the roast, but I don't. I guess we'll make it 3 then.
But well, it's just the fact that, you know, I guess the only highlight for me was a comment made by Kevin Nash when Bischoff invited him and Sting out there. And Kevin Nash looked Bischoff square in the eye and said, "You want to run another company to the ground? Go ahead. Do it without me."
They were shoot-tastic last night on Impact.
Oh, they were. They were. A lot of stuff was very shoot-tastic, and some of that edginess is fine. But unfortunately, a lot, since it's that true, it just makes me that more worried for that company. Dixie has decided to stay in character with all this, all the way to Facebook and Twitter. And I quote from her Facebook Hulk and Eric, well, mostly Eric, have already run one company out of business. They will not do that to mine, no matter what they think. I don't know, guys. I mean, are the buzzards circling, Carl? Did this spell some more trouble for TNA? Carl? Carl, you still with us? Yikes. Tycho,
maybe
help me
that
out
followed
here.
Batista into the pit of danger.
You back with us, Carl? Nope. Tycho saved me. Are there buzzards circling around Orlando right now?
Maybe, but I don't think so. Honestly, Hogan and Bischoff have a better chance of keeping TNA afloat than Dixie Carter does. She has no idea what the hell she's doing. At least Bischoff and Hogan, they know what they need to be doing. That doesn't mean they'll do it. Dixie Carter just has no idea.
I wouldn't say they are, but it's definitely like the time of the finger poke where you can tell things are bad, but they can still kind of pull themselves out if they wanted to.
Okay. Despite all this, there you are.
Yeah, sorry, I had to walk out the room for a second.
No, you're fine. Despite all this, Carl.
Yes.
The show lands a 1.4. Is this just curiosity for Off the Bound for Glory, or are you worried that we just sent them the wrong message?
Maybe a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah. But so I put
or
it
maybe,
in the panel.
Maybe J Wow equals ratings.
JWoww, 15 grand.
Yeah, I was going to say, that could feed most of the women's division for 3 weeks.
Or at least help them pay their rent. It'd be nice if they were actually making somewhere closer to that kind of money.
Thinking that about what Madison Rain makes in a year?
I probably make more than Madison Rain does in a year. I don't travel as much as she does, but so I put it to the panel. Is this a Room 101 worthy show, or do we need to give this we need to look back at this show a couple of months down the line?
I wouldn't say put it in right now, but definitely the program that we've dubbed me and everyone else on AAM have dubbed That Impact. Definitely should be observed and maybe a few months down the line put in.
All
right. So is it going to be like that Jackie Gato match?
Essentially.
Oh, Jesus.
Something like that. Yeah, you should. I'm sorry, Carl.
And for some reason, I got that still on tape somewhere in my closet.
The final thing I'll say about Gator's match, it was just fun the way Jim Ross talked about it. You could tell he was angry.
Yeah, he was still head of talent back then.
Yeah.
It was going so great that Bradshaw and Chris Nowinski had to run away mid-match.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm with y'all. I'll look back down later on.
So, I am going to mercifully walk away from that and take a peek at what we're seeing on Raw and SmackDown, who managed within their first 15 minutes of both shows having twice as much wrestling as Impact.
The ironic thing is TNA is looked at as the wrestling promotion.
Yeah. yet here we are. So Ross hopping together, putting their team together, of course, they've had some fun intertwining some of the storylines. The fact that Cena still wanted to be in there and be captain like he was doing back at SummerSlam. And Barrett kind of shutting that down, both to his face and then after the general manager had something to say about it. Probably being the one to send Joe and Husky out there to try to make sure it didn't happen. So just the fact that those two went out there, Carl, you think Barrett was just trying to save himself from the GM's wrath by not sending Russ Nexus instead?
Interesting thought there. I'm going to give the belief that maybe WWE heads are kind of like getting a little tired of the same old thing, especially with Cena. Maybe give Barrett a little bit more workload.
Go ahead, Forrest.
It definitely is a possibility.
I'm not sure what exactly is going on, but all I can say is that in the last couple of weeks, I've seen John Cena pinned more times than I think in his entire career.
Yeah, hence my theory, although it didn't come out right, but yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So if he's no longer overcoming the odds, then I'm happy.
Oh, don't feed his ego!
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's what happens when I get too many new sound effects. Blame Jim.
Jim? Yep.
I was going to say, I definitely want to see where it's headed now, because it is definitely getting to where it's, to me, almost a definite that Cena will cost him the championship, but will it be him just saying, screw it, and just walloping him intentionally, or just somehow disguising it as an accident so he keeps his job?
I think we're going to see it as an accident since he came within a hair's breadth of getting himself fired by almost punching Barrett out during the main. And we got to give huge props. Barrett has really, really embraced his role. I've never seen so much badass in one night from a guy who's only been on TV less than a year. The headbutt, the entire tirade on Cena. I mean, what have we got here? This is crazy. Would WWE be brazen enough to put the belt on Barrett? I think he's practically earned it.
They took a gamble on Sheamus. I don't see why not.
They did the same thing with Swagger with not as good a return. I'm sorry, Typho.
They didn't give him a chance.
I can definitely say Barrett seems more likely not to come down with an eagle that just serves the purpose of getting beaten up all the time.
I agree with Carter.
The
eagle is cool.
I mean, Wade Barrett is, I mean, obviously he's on the cusp of being like a regular main eventer, possibly being WWE champion sometime relatively soon. Things could be a lot worse for him. Look at the following winner of NXT. He jobbed to Tyler Rex.
Oh God.
Yeah, we're gonna get over there in just a minute because there's other goofiness with Team Raw. Santino.
What?
My brain hurts. Santino.
I'm sick of Zack Ryder being treated like this. Nobody deserves to be jobbed to Santino.
Except for Swaggle, but that's it.
Well, yeah.
Well, if the truth that gets future endeavored, then he can go over and slap the crap out of Shore and show him, this is how it's really done, bro.
Yeah.
He's out control doing it. let's see. Should we be taking Santino seriously, Carl? I'm having trouble with that.
You're not the only one. I'm not.
I still don't see any way that he makes it to bragging rights on Team Raw. He's got to lose his spot to somebody. But, I mean, how could he believably go through that match not being pinned in, like, 2 seconds if he's in there with, like, the Big Show or Edge or Tyler Rex?
Well, I'm sure.
That's why he's probably on the team. He'll do something stupid, get knockout punched, boom, out of the match early.
Well, a suitable substitute can be found somewhere, I'm sure.
Uh-oh. Jim's been busy.
Okay, Daniel Bryan would be awesome on that team. I was going to say Daniel Bryan would actually be awesome on the team, especially if they bring up how he came within a hair against Sheamus.
A hair.
Yet people are still griping, oh my God, they're burying Daniel Bryan. No, they're not. This week he got a ton more offense in. And the fact that he is just U.S. champion, facing a former two-time WWE champion, I know there's a lot of smart them out there that says, oh, he should be winning, he should be beating everybody because he can tie all these guys in knots.
And that's the ultimate paradox, because when he does, then they're going to say, oh, he's Superman now.
Right, so they're taking their time. They're taking their time to get up there, get him up there. So it's coming. And worst comes to worst, we still have that one spot open. And we've got, let's see, Miz in charge, Truth and Wisdom is part of this mess, Santino, Sheamus, and then CM Punk doing Evan Bourne a slight favor since he needed shoulder surgery anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I don't have the soundbite for nothing personal.
No.
Obviously, with the open spot, that, by WWE logic, looking at the team, that would be the obligatory big man jobber spot. So, Khali's apparently doing a reality show in India, so he's busy. Mark Henry was away this week, so he was busy. So, the obligatory big man jobber role may not get to be filled, or Mark Henry gets the spot next week. I don't know.
Well, you're missing another big man jobber, David Hart Smith.
I'll ask later. I want to hear what you were going to say.
Well, I was pretty much done. It was essentially that he didn't make the show. They didn't really go into why. Which might just be an angle that they're saving for after bragging rights, since they have been teasing the breakup of the Hart Dynasty, which is a crying shame, but they really haven't done much with them.
The office was confused by these two guys being together and having some kind of name. They didn't really understand what that was or why it was happening, so they're going to feud them.
Yeah.
Like, what is this thing? Two guys together, they have this Hart Dynasty name? We don't understand.
What were those things of gold they had? They seemed about as useless as the one AJ Styles has.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are those shiny copper pennies that Drew McIntyre and Dashing Cody Rhodes happen to be carrying around right now?
Yep.
Wait a minute, what's a gate crasher? Have Hawkins elbow drop that tramp stamp guy.
Tramp Stamp's going to have find something better to do now that Kurt Hawkins actually has his epic music back. The fact that he won the tag team music in the divorce.
I'm sure now Lance Hoyt and Luke Gallows both get to sit at home for a couple months until they're released. That's usually what happens to the other half of the teams they break up.
After 3 months, bye-bye.
Hmm.
We waited. Couldn't figure out what to do with you. It's like, well, why'd you break up the team in the first place?
The sad thing is we know at least one of them will be being drafted to the other show, not
appear and then just get released.
I call that the Chuck Palumbo.
Chuck Palumbo.
Ouch. But
if Chuck Palumbo ever comes back and he ends up on SmackDown and the draft comes along, he should just hide. Because if he gets drafted to Raw, you know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
He's never made it to Raw. Both times been drafted, never made it. And I don't count custom Chucky P. That was
Chucky
Heat.
P.
So, and with their number seven open, they could throw Daniel Bryan in there as a sympathy thing, or John Cena find some convoluted way to get on the team, or
they're in Calgary this Monday.
Uh oh.
Hmm.
You don't.
Well, sure, a certain somebody who decided to be on the SummerSlam team might decide he wants to be on this one, too. So he can get DQ'd for hitting someone with a chair.
I was going to say, what member of Team SmackDown would be the safest one for him to work with? Because it's obvious when he was feuding with Nexus, they weren't letting him go anywhere near Otunga.
Anytime he was in the ring, it was with Heath Slater. It's the only guy they trusted in there with him.
Well, I know why when it came to Otunga and Justin Gabriel. No, actually, this is not my bias. I still blame Randy for the blown 450 Monday night. He rolled the wrong way.
Somehow Justin Gabriel is still currently employed.
No, I was waiting for that.
That was a train wreck.
I was going to say, was it just coincidence what happened to Steamboat, or did they connect it to him or to anyone else?
Oh, no. That was all coincidence. But in the case of Gabriel, the fact that, what worried me more was just the fact that they went right to the finish after that, which might have been part of it all along, but it just, I was more concerned that, that Orton ended up getting up and he's going to mess up my shoulder. Let's just get out of here.
Some people were thinking that maybe he was trying to hit the RKO out of it like he did with Evan Bourne. He didn't quite make it up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not quite, no.
He didn't quite get up. But and it would have been interesting, but that would have been a really, really tough catch. And I can't see them firing Gabriel, but then again, I didn't see them firing Kennedy. But and firing Gabriel right now would be a
because that would be stupid.
Maybe instead Gabriel will just be bumped down the Nexus ranks. Slater and Otunga will jump him. So if Gabriel has been the kind of go-to guy underneath Wade Barrett, maybe now it'll just be Slater. I don't see it being Otunga.
God help us with Otunga. But with Harris and Henning joining up next week, and you can't tell me that they're not going to put those two in, judging from the way Barrett phrased it for Mr. Cena.
I think finally it's going to be their moment. Right now. Starting now.
In this moment on.
Right now, in this moment.
I love that moment.
Apparently it's going to be some kind of Genesis.
See, I would have figured him saying that would have resulted in a singles push.
Only if he had said it right. Unfortunately, he ended up sounding like one of the members of Legacy. He was just missing a part.
Baby oil!
I'll be honest. In recent weeks, whenever I thought about all those Cody Rhodes segments, I was thinking about that clip.
He will do something about baby oil in one of these clips. He's got to. And if he doesn't, I will be totally disappointed.
He was using nail polish tonight, so he's getting a little closer, maybe.
I missed that thing. I had to take care of something, but was it at least like the clear polish, almost like he was protecting the nail or something? Or
yeah, that was the point of it.
Okay. I was a little worried there.
But he needed something to redeem himself after losing to Rey Mysterio to qualify for the bragging rights match. I vote for nice touch in the fact that Big Show got to sit out there and watch all these matches unfold, since he was probably the best voice at the commentary table tonight.
why is he wearing that headband? Has anybody told him he looks like an idiot?
Or no.
Yeah. After seeing the trailer for Knucklehead, I think the headband is a lot better than half that look. Not to say those looks are awful, though.
I'll take the headband over the shaggy wig that he got stuck wearing for the movie.
Oh, man.
The only good thing about Knucklehead is now we get to see those trailers instead of longer trailers for Legendary. Now they're just the short ones saying, hey, buy the DVD at Walmart.
That's right. Patricia Clarkson now knows how to get her son back. Tina isn't in the emotional state to constantly yell, come on.
Boy. But the fact that he's out there being, you know, face-to-face, you know, shaking hands and celebrating with everybody and getting the wink of death from Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
I was waiting for him to punch Del Rio's lights out.
He's a valuable team member for Team SmackDown. As the team captain, he can't be hitting his own guys.
I have the feeling, regardless of the outcome of the match, we're definitely going to see him and Del Rio have negative interaction.
I think Team SmackDown's already doomed. You got Mysterio and Del Rio on the team, Edge and Swagger on the team.
Mm-hmm. So leaving Kofi and Big Show to do all the work because Tyler Rex is going to get killed at some point.
He sucks.
when he hit his new finisher tonight on Caval, I was hoping they would. Call it like the tailspin or the plane crash or something like that. I like to believe that his new gimmick is the fact that he is a paranoid flyer now.
Yeah, I want that to happen.
And give him the same gimmick he gave Eric Young. Good Lord.
Oh, God, on Impact, that was just horrible.
It's even worse on Explosions from what I hear.
And Somebody please tell Orlando Jordan to stop stealing Super Oprah's look. I'm serious. The last couple times I've seen Orlando Jordan on TV, I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to call Super Oprah and just tell him to go down to Orlando and kick Jordan's butt.
That's a major turn off.
Well, nobody noticed the difference.
That's true. Yeah, right.
But that's just me. Only other biggie from SmackDown tonight was the announcement for Undertaker and Kane's next route to hell, that they will be facing each other in a Buried Alive match. And somehow Undertaker got his powers back. Did I miss something?
I think we all did.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought that maybe like the urn gave it to him in the sense of giving it back, that they know they couldn't take it back from him. That would just probably require another vegetative whatever, but
maybe they could say he found Midian and re-sacrificed him and got his old ministry powers back.
Yeah.
Judging from all the fire and lightning that got thrown around tonight, wouldn't surprise me.
He is wearing the little hood again like he did in his ministry days.
Well, the cult coat was pretty much a replacement after he had his other gear slightly singed in Elimination Chamber earlier this year.
Yeah, I love how Paul London still has the guts to make fun of that.
It's always fun to see The Undertaker do the Ultimate Warrior's entrance.
Oh, jeez.
I just hope he's not as interested to get involved.
No, he likes the lightning. I reiterate, Taker took it out on the pyrotechnician after the show was over. He was a professional. He stayed out there, and he actually did the match. He went back, killed the pyrotech. They were taped before he even got hit with the fire, so it was just, you know.
Well, he went back, untaped his fist just so he could tape them again in front of the pyro guy.
And he had McCool fly to the guy's house and make fun of his wife.
Although, admittedly, let's see, they were in Portland, so they were up near, you know, they were in Oregon. They could have worked his way up to Seattle and just stood out in a lightning storm to get all his powers back.
He was just kind of standing around on the roof most of the night. I just assumed he took a wrong door trying to find the bathroom and got locked out up there.
I just assumed he was taunting Hulk Hogan.
He's up there looking for the wall. Come on.
He wanted to get Kane up there to challenge him to a sumo monster truck match.
only if Matt Strike is like, well, did he fall in the water? With Michael Cole going, does it make a difference?
Yet they can do a run-in on their match.
No, wrestle crap, bad. Wrestle crap. That's just horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. Let's see. With all this put together, now we've been joking about Tyler Rex. Do you really think they're going to keep him on the team? It hurts. I would love to see Cavall go on there. I didn't read the spoilers, so I felt pretty good about seeing Cavall. And then Tyler Rex comes a stomping out looking like freaking Predator. They can't fight.
Well, then it'd be really interesting now if Mark Henry is on Team Raw. Mark Henry Tyler Rex showdown.
How the mighty have fallen.
Who looks more like the Predator?
Mark Henry had the hair, but Rex got the build. And Undertaker's got the tech. I mean, the match. I mean, no, wait. Stay out of that.
Only this involves an unnecessary Arnold Schwarzenegger cameo yelling, "Get the chopper!"
Well, that would only lead to Triple H coming back immediately to get his win back over Arnold.
Would he leave his, do you think he'd leave his cozy office to take the number 7 spot for the bragging rights for Team Raw?
Anytime there's a mystery opponent, partner, person around this time, I just always assume it's Triple H, but he's always somewhere on the top of the list because, I mean, I just don't see him staying away. I just can't fathom the possibility of him staying away. He's going to pop up one of these days.
I just think, you know, I can see him coming back, but I would think he would hold off his big return for Survivor Series. But Carl, do you think the Evil Doc might show up at Bragging Rights?
I didn't catch it. I'm sorry. Say it again.
Just the speculation that Hunter, that Triple H could be the seventh member for Team Raw.
Did they peg his return around Survivor Series anyway?
I've heard anywhere between Survivor Series to the 2011 Rumble.
I wouldn't rule it out, but I guess stay tuned to find out.
I wonder if they do the Cena Rumble return with Triple H.
Hoping for that one to be saved if Chris Jericho decides to come back.
Jericho throws everybody out before 30 and thinks he's won. 30 goes off, Triple H comes out, kick, pedigree, over the top rope.
No, Jericho sees him coming and jumps out of the ring, says, "Never mind. I already know this is going to end."
When he gets, Triple H finally gets a hold of him, and when he does the kick right before the pedigree, he does one of the big, like, Batman word bubbles that says buried. Again.
That, and when Jericho's celebrating, Triple H just goes, "Excuse me, for Dance of the Devil in the Pale Moonlight." And agrees him.
Jericho stops to say, "Not sure if serious."
Just while Jericho's standing in the ring, waiting for in the Rumble, they just play the sound bite from the Hornswoggle segment of "I Want to Squash Him."
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a messed up mess. Let's see. What have I got in here? Well, we still got about 10 minutes left to show. This seems to have been a very light news week. Did I miss anything?
No.
I think, well, I saw that WWE wants to work with the Sports Legacy Institute again. I didn't know if that had to do with Linda's political aspirations or not, but
wouldn't surprise me.
I don't have the article in front of me. Anybody near WrestleCrap to go look that up for me, or shall I look that up?
Let me see.
How about the fact that apparently NXT Season 3 is a shoot?
Oh, just the fact that since Jamie was eliminated, then she was released?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Let's
I'd be nervous if I was the next eliminated.
Okay. Well, no, this just has a link to PW Insider, which I am reluctant to click because the last time I was on PW Insider, I got a virus.
Uh-oh. Good old PW Insider.
Well, maybe I have an elite account, so I have to deal with all the ads. They, you know, crappers are saying that it's something that it's tied into just, you know, the tail end of Linda's campaign. I think that, you know, they're probably partially right, but the hatchet needed to be buried at some point. Let's get the, you know, let's get these guys on the bandwagon. Let's find out what's going, you know, let's see if we can see where all this concussion research is going.
Maybe it's going to lead to Chris Nowinski being the anonymous general manager of Raw.
I'd mark.
Only if it leads to a promo with Swagger when he tells him, I was Swagger before Swagger was here. Or something like that. That's something to say that he blazed the path.
And then the Swagger Soaring Eagle walks in and Nowinski turns around and elbows him in the head and says, you're going to need to get that looked at because you probably have a concussion.
That was going to be better than my suggestion. If they could twist Nowinski's arm into suiting up for one match, just to have him versus Swagger, and the Eagle comes out as the ref.
Nowinski can't be any worse off than Bret Hart.
I was going to say, if you were thinking the one more match to be against Bret, that would be one of the worst matches of the year, and I can't believe I would say that about Bret Hart.
Neither guy can take a bump.
It would end when one of them gets disqualified for hitting the referee.
Double disqualification. They both turn and hit the ref with a chair at the same time.
And then shake hands and leave together. Let's see. Actually, there is one other thing I'm gonna take a look at. We were joking earlier about Nexus. Now, while Otunga cannot do a bloody thing in the ring when it comes to wrestling, the fact that all I've seen him do are shoulder blocks, elbow drops, and that shitty power slam of his. That he's got some staying power in what presence and mic ability he's got. As he has just been smoothly working his way up as the Starscream to Barrett's Megatron. And yeah, even the TV Tropes, you know, and I'll take it from the TV Tropes definition. He's gunning for Barrett. He's gunning for Barrett's spot. He's just got to really watch his step because Barrett's paying attention. But would Barrett throw him out?
He'd probably have to get injured first, like everyone else.
Yeah.
Don't jinx the show.
Well, I think Hectus is already pretty well jinxed enough.
If he starts as a commentator, his first act should be to throw Michael Cole off SmackDown the way Gorilla Monsoon threw Heenan off Raw.
Could only hope. No, I will give points to Otunga for just being so smooth about originally volunteering to face Orton and then throwing it to Justin Gabriel. I'm like, okay, that was pretty smooth. Now, although I'm sure Barrett wouldn't have minded watching Otunga get his butt kicked from one side of the ring to the other by Randy Orton, so he'll have an excuse to throw him out of Nexus, but they need the manpower.
They could always bring Darren Young back in. He did pick up his first post-Nexus win on Superstars this week. He beat Primo.
Does that count?
Well, when you're Darren Young, you take what you can get.
Hey, he's got to make it a win.
Wrong guy.
Damn it.
Doesn't really matter who it is, I guess.
Although,
where's Titus O'Neil when the Nexus needs him? He'd make it a win. They already know how to make a fight, and they make it a fight. Now they just need him to help make it a win.
Okay. Him doing just a motivational speaker character for the group would be enough to make it awesome.
He just gives them the same speech every week and ends it with make it a win. And tells them not to drink and drive.
Yeah. After a month of that, somebody's killing.
And then does the dog bark.
They could have that one Undertaker don't drink and drive ad from the early 90s. Can't remember how it went, but that was screwed up.
I have not even seen that. And now you're going to make me scour YouTube for it at some point.
I remember a Don't Do Drugs poster they put out with Jake Roberts on it.
That was the scene. And I've also seen the one with Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and he looks completely out of his mind. I'm like, so, oh, Facepalm Worthy stuff. So we are now, go ahead, Forrest.
I was going to say, that is a funny poster. Jake Roberts, don't do drugs, kid.
Just give him
I wonder if right after that he went to play blackjack. I hear if you've got 21, he's got 22.
If you're playing H's and H, he's got too many of those, too.
Well, we're coming up on our closing 2 minutes of the show. I'm gonna throw this out there. I don't know if you guys saw my Facebook mail, but I am looking to try to set up actual segments for the show. Although I like the free form of the show, don't get me wrong. I would love to throw in actually have some standard segments if we get we get something that pretty much screams needs our attention. Seeing where the IWC blowing up over something like the whole Brian Sheamus thing or this horrible, horrible impact that we've had this past week. I didn't know if you guys had any ideas or if you can call the email or care to help me out.
I can't really remember now.
No, I wanted to do, if we had something especially fail-worthy, it would fall under a 3-minute warning or spear this, depending on how current I wanted to be with it. And the internet thing, I jokingly called mustard. stuff like that. Or should we just keep to the form of the show?
I am liking this form for now.
About the about Typho's Wrestlelicious corner.
You just want more airtime, don't you?
He's a mod at the forums. He'll ban someone.
You can't ban me over that. That's not fair.
Then I'll just make up other reasons.
He'll just say you're saying hateful things to other people.
No. If he's going to get me for something, it might be for the fact that I started a thread, what are all the privileges of bragging rights?
That's good enough. Questioning the integrity of bragging rights.
I just put on there, I just decided to put two Smash TV references, but I don't think anyone will get them.
I'll look at them in about 10 seconds because this show is done and I'm going to run before I get banned. So, gentlemen, maybe next week, all right?
All right.
All right.
Not all.
Right.
You're not a material.
But thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
And don't ban
That was a good distraction since the Rangers did blow a 5-0 lead and just lost 6-5. Great start to this series.
Yeah.
They'll make up for it. I'm going to get out of y'all's way.
All right. Good night.
Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Night, Typho.
Good night.
Night, Port.
Night. Night.